Sometimes, like last week, we heard, or we read, or we were hearing in Prabhupada's nectar, I think it was Harikesh Maharaj. Harikesh Swami was mentioning about his association with Srila Prabhupada, and he was actually saying, you know, he got it wrong, or rather, at that time, he misunderstood what association was. That association he was hankering after, the association that he was hankering after was to be in physical proximity with the spiritual master, to do seva, to do physical service to the spiritual master. Yes, that is good. But more important than that, when we say serve the devotees, or when we say associate with the devotees, most importantly we are talking about hearing and speaking Krishna Katha. Krishna Katha with devotees. Depending on our capacity, what we have heard, what we have read, we can share with others just some points that startled us. We can discuss this with others. So our time when we mingle, right, that's association. When we associate means when we mingle, our topics are restricted to these things. Anyway, you know, when we are not, our tendency is we like a lot of anartha. So anyway, we are going to talk nonsense otherwise, at other times. Why not, at least when we meet with devotees, speak Krishna Katha? So that's the real meaning of association. Right? Associate. So one service is to hear about Krishna and to speak about Krishna. This is also service. Service doesn't mean something physical. Right? Because we are engaging our senses of the tongue, senses of the the ears, to be able to hear and speak about Krishna. So that's service. So, and Srila Prabhupada, ultimately, one other thing that Narada Muni did as a child, or in a previous life was, when he was a young boy, he was serving, eating the remnants of these Bhaktivedantas, those who have no other business other than to give pleasure to the Lord. We can always ask ourselves if we are close to that position, or we are doing that. Are we at every moment only thinking of Krishna's pleasure? Right? So then we can see, you know, these persons, their only business is to give Krishna pleasure, nothing else. You know? So ultimately, Prabhupada writes in his purport to that verse 1-18, he says, right. The messages of the book Bhagavat, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam, or other Bhakti Shastra, right? Therefore, has to be received from the devotee Bhagavat. You follow what I'm saying? So that is most important. You know, if we are the best way to get Krishna's instructions, know about Krishna, about who we are in relation to Krishna, and what our prime duty, or our only duty actually, our swadharma, our only duty in life, is to be able to hear from such persons. Because they are convinced. They are able to convince us. I mean, many of you would have your own experiences, you know, when we meet with different devotees. For example, with your own spiritual master, how you feel like, what am I doing, you know, I'm not, why am I still so engrossed in material life? It's not, we cannot pretend that we are not, or rather we cannot pretend that we are currently we feel like doing so much service, but we are able to accept that when we hear from them, because they are only talking about Krishna and trying to make you realize, hey, what are you doing? Not telling you straight, or maybe, you know, from pages of the Bhagavatam, making us realize, hey, we are supposed to be giving pleasure to Krishna, what are you doing? What are we doing? So then that will make us more and more think about or contemplate on changing our own life, so that we prioritize. From, for example, you know, going for, you know, different recreations we may have. So all those things become of low priority in our lives. So by associating with such persons, this is what happens. So both when Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Prabhupada was asked, why you build so many mats, 64 mats he built, why you build so many mats? Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, in his introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, he also states why he has the purpose of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is so that, you know, all these centers that we have, right, is to speak this Krishna Katha, so that people come and hear about Krishna Katha. Again, you know, please remember, Krishna Katha doesn't mean just stories of Krishna. That you can go to the Bhagavad Sapta, right? You can go to Bhagavad Sapta and hear also. You know, they are also speaking Krishna Katha. You can, but none of you are going to Lakshmi Narayan temple. We have no members of the committee here. You know, for example, in Lakshmi Narayan temple, we have some pandits coming to speak Krishna Katha or Ram Katha. So they say, but sometimes when we have been there, we've heard, you know, all the music and all the expert musicians will be there, and you know, and everyone is actually engrossed in hearing Ram Katha, Krishna Katha, and say, oh, this is such a religious activity. Yes, externally. Huh? Because like in this purport, afterwards you will see that. Okay, I'll just pick this before. One who teaches Srimad Bhagavatam, right? One who teaches Srimad Bhagavatam but does not explain devotional service speaks uselessly and commits offense. So, you will see what is the effect. Everyone who goes to Lakshmi Narayan temple, all this, you know, this so-called Bhagavad Saptaha that they organize, you look, they come all dressed fancily, and during that time they will be talking, but the key, the most important thing is what happens when they go home. None of the things that they heard they have no desire to put into practice what they have heard. Because in the first place, they are only talking about the stories. And they themselves, if you go and ask them, no, why did Ram worship Lord Shiva before going to Lanka? You know, you say, or rather, isn't Lord Shiva God? Oh no, God, no, there is no real God. God, this is just, you know. So they themselves may not know who God is. All they know is how to tell stories nicely. You understand what I'm saying? So, going to Bhagavad Saptaha, I don't know what benefit you can get. It specifically says it's offensive, they are being offensive because they are being there to earn a living. They are not there to give this to, because out of compassion they want to give Krishna Tattva to the whole world so that everyone can start their journey or continue their journey back to Krishna. You understand what I'm saying? Because that is absent in such gatherings. So what is the point? We have come not to hear stories. That stories will actually illustrate some important concept, or rather not something important that we can imbibe in our life so that we change our lives. That's why we come to hear. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur again, he said there are three types of hearers, three types of persons who read books, scriptural books, I mean. One is that person who comes just to check that person out. You know, we say check him, let's go and check him out. You know, that means they just want to see whether he knows his stuff. So we've come to just check someone else out, whether he knows or I know more than him. No, so that's one. The second type of person is that person who comes to get some kick out of the class. Wow, that pointer, wow. Even he could be in Sri Prabhupada's class or some great Bhakta Bhagavat's class. And he may give some great, you know, some, you know, very, a point that just blows us away. You know, just like, you know, our favorite book, The Science of Self-Realization, has so many of these things. And similarly, I think Hare Krishna Challenge, which many people like for some reason, because I think Srila Prabhupada, the way Srila Prabhupada presents this philosophy, you know, there are many strong point that he puts in, and then as devotees when we say, wow, such a strong point, you know, Srila Prabhupada makes. So recently I was corrected by a friend of mine, because I was saying, wow, that point that devotee made, wow, it's really far out, wow, you know, that. Then, so, when he said that, you know, Prabhu, no, actually that's not the mood with which we are supposed to hear that. You know, instead he gave me something practical to do. When we hear something mind-blowing, you know, sorry to use that word, but something that, you know, catches, you know, that really inspires us, maybe that's a nicer word. What we do is, if we are not able to carry that out immediately, the minimum that we can do is go to the deity straight away, or within a short time, go to the deity and tell Lord Krishna, tell Gopal, you know, tell Sri Sri Gaunatayam, no, please, your lordship, no, I heard this, alright, this, you know, when will I ever be able to imbibe this in my own life? You understand what I'm saying? So this is what he told me. So it made a lot of sense. You know, otherwise, what we are doing, we are actually trying to enjoy what, you know, the second one. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said the first one is coming to check the speaker out, or the author out, and the second one is coming to get some enjoyment. Hey, I know this person who will crack a lot of jokes, and he will give far out things, so we are going for the wrong reason. Right? We've come just to get some point, so that we tell this point to others, and thus the others will go all, they will go all, wow, what a point. No, but this actually means, you know, Prabhu was telling, this is actually Guru Bhogi mentality. That means we want to actually enjoy Guru. Guru is not meant for our enjoyment. Krishna is not meant for our enjoyment. We are here to serve them. We are here to serve Krishna. We are here to serve Guru. Not get pleasure from Guru. Guru is not supposed to give us pleasure. But by serving Guru or by serving Krishna, we may get some pleasure. That's different from we getting pleasure on our own. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand, Guru? Guru Bhogi mentality. That means we want to enjoy Guru. That means Guru has come. Then after Guru has, after Guru Maharaj has spoken some, you know, far out points, then did you hear that point? Oh, far out now, Guru Maharaj. Far out now, Prabhupada. No, so we are only on the far out platform. No, to put it on a very crude level, I'm just saying, not a laughing matter, but what we want to do, isn't it better, you know, this is what my friend told me. He said, why don't you actually go pray to the deities? Deities nearby, you know, Gopal. You know, Gopal is here. Or, no, please, you know, I want to, would I be able to imbibe this into my own life? Aspire. If we cannot do it now, aspire for it. Don't rationalize and say, hey, how can I do it? You know, I'm still working. No way I can do it. Don't rationalize. It's stupid to rationalize. Instead, say, why, no, I haven't got the urge to do it. So beg for mercy, one day hope I can do it. Instead of saying, oh, that's not for me, that's for, you know, people who are madhyam and above, or, no, we don't say like that. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the second type. And the third type of person who come to hear or read is that person who has come eager to know how he can change his life. We want to aspire to be such hearers. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva says, you know, I may sound like a broken record, but I just like to make this point very clear. Lord Shiva says about this Bhagavatam. He says, Aham Vetni Sukha Veti. I know Bhagavatam and Sukha knows Bhagavatam. Aham Vetni Sukha Veti. Then he says, Vyaso Veti Na Veti Va. So he says, by the way, who wrote Bhagavatam in our, from our Srimad Bhagavatam? Srila Vyasadeva. So Vyaso Veti Na Veti Va. Lord Shiva is saying, whether Vyasadeva knows or not, I don't know. That's what Lord Shiva says. He says he doesn't know whether Vyasadeva knows or not, but he says, I know, and I know Sukadeva knows. Then he says, this is more important, but Asya Bhagavatam Grahyam. We can only understand Bhagavatam by Bhakti. Na Buddhaya Na Chakikaya. Many of us are educated, university and above, or O levels and above, whatever else is, sorry, you know. So many of us think, oh, I've gone through O levels, A levels, no, and I can understand English, no, so I can understand Prabhupada's thoughts, what's the problem? Or even if you're prouder still, I know Sanskrit, man, I had 12 years of training on Sanskrit grammar, so I know Sanskrit. But Lord Shiva says, sorry, na buddhaya, not with your intelligence, and na cha tikaya. Tika means commentaries. So many of our acharyas have written commentaries. Huh? We are currently reading Prabhupada's commentary. And sometimes we, in between this purport, Sri Prabhupada also gives Jiva Goswami's commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, others' commentary. But he says, Jiva Goswami has written commentary, Sridhar Swami has written commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written commentary, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written commentary, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj has written commentary. So all have written commentary, but Lord Shiva says something else. Lord Shiva says, you cannot understand me, you cannot understand Bhagavatam by these commentaries. You follow what I'm saying? He only says Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahan. Only by Bhakti you'll be able to understand. Why? Because Krishna Tulya Bhagavata. Krishna and Bhagavatam, they are non-different. Don't think for a minute that just because you understand English and understand and you are able to understand Prabhupada's purpose. I mean, look at it. We are trying, what Bhagavatam means, Krishna. We are trying to understand Krishna. Vibhu. And we are Anu. Anu trying to understand Vibhu. It's not possible. Unless he wants us, he allows us to know us. You follow what I'm saying? So unless he wants us to know us, he allows us to know him, we will not be able to understand. You understand what I'm saying? So the bottom line is this. Only by Bhakti we would be able to understand Bhagavatam. You know, so many Bhagavatam sets have been distributed throughout the world. But not everyone has come to our temple. Some people, you know, when we visit them, they say, your Prabhupada keeps repeating and repeating and repeating. That's what they see. Why? They are also reading. They are doctors, mind you. They read. And why it didn't occur to them? Because of the way how you approach Bhagavatam. So similarly, when we come to hear Bhagavatam, we have to come with the right approach. We have to come here, I've come, you know, pray to Lord Krishna. So this is why we do these invocations. We do invocations to beg for their mercy. Guru Maharaj's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy, for Gopal's mercy. So that, let please shower your mercy so that I will be here to listen for your pleasure. Speak for your pleasure. Not speak for my pleasure. Not hear for your pleasure. For their pleasure. So this, because this is most important. If we get this foundation right, would it not be good? That means every time we go for a class, we go in the right mood, not to get some knowledge. Yes, another point in my notebook. No. Yes. Again, okay. Even writing notebooks, we'll do it as a service, not so that. See, knowledge accumulation gives what? Kapala Bhusta. No, the hit becomes big. But realization means when Krishna reveals something to us, revelation, realized knowledge, this doesn't become big. Instead, heart becomes big. You follow what I'm saying? When heart becomes big, automatically you become compassionate. You want to give to others so that others also benefit, so that others also go towards Krishna. Do you see what I'm trying to say here? Isn't it, for example, especially Prabhu, you are very young. when you get this knowledge, I remember, you know, when the first time I hear not the body, not the soul, not demigods, this, I can't wait to go out and hunt down some people. Because I got this knowledge. Right? Hantam means, you know, just beat people on the head. You know, that's our mood, you know. I can't wait to tell my father, my uncles or whoever I know, hey, what you've been practicing is all wrong, you know. That's not the mood we are supposed to. But unfortunately, you know, because I wasn't, you know, no proper training, so that's how, that was the mood with which I was listening, or that was the mood with which I was reading, just to get some points so that I can preach to others. That shouldn't be, that's not what we want. What we want is how we can change our lives and go towards Krishna, beg for His mercy, so that our hearts become big. When our hearts become big instead of our heads, automatically that desire for compassion comes about. We want to do it for the right reason, not because otherwise head becomes big, we just become proud, and that is a demoniac quality. That's one of the anathas, what we do not want. And it's very easy to get name, fame, adoration. These are gifts from bhakti, gifts. One of the anartha is anarthas from bhakti. By doing bhakti you get gifts. Free gifts. People say, Prabhu, you speak so well. Prabhu, you cook so well. So many things you get. Right? But you know, in the first getting it's a bit long, okay. I'm going to stop. I'll just say one more point about this knowledge acquiring thing. In the first verse of Sikshashtaka, we hear that, how does the first verse go? Cheto dhatanam arjanam, bhava mahadavasinya dhatanam, shreya kairava chandrika vittaranam, vidya vadu jivanam. So vidya vadu. So, like I was saying, vidya usually makes our head big, right? But vidya that we get should make us vadu. What does vadu mean? Vadu means a newly wedded bride. A newly wedded bride, when she goes to the house of the in-laws, how does she behave?
Low
profile. You know, shrink, you know. Very low profile. Not, I know. That's not our nature, you know, we want, just because we know a sentence, yeah, I know that verse, yeah, I know. So that is what, if we can ask ourselves, real knowledge means to become vadu. That means very, very timid. And our heart becomes bigger. That means more and more urge to want to share, want to give this to others for others' benefit, not so that others will respect me. You understand what I'm saying? So this we want to, this mood. So I'm just trying to set the mood so that my class will be shorter. Right? So this mood. So this mood is important to go, you know, when we approach Srimad Bhagavatam or any Bhakti Shastra. Because only by Bhakti we are going to understand, not by the words. Only by Bhakti we will be able to understand. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So, you know, when we chant this Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, we are actually offering obeisances to Vasudev, son of Vasudev, right? So again, that's an invocation, it means begging for mercy. So be conscious when you say it. No, don't just, it's not just another session, but there is a significance why we say it. It's a lead in to we are going to try and understand Krishna now. So we are begging for His mercy. So beg. No, do it. No, I want to. No, please. Let me hear. Let me read. Let me recite for your pleasure, Gurudev. let me read for your pleasure, Srila Prabhupada, who has so painstakingly given this purport, Bhaktivedanta purport, so that we, malachas of the West, outside India, can have a glimpse, can understand a little bit about what Krishna consciousness is all about. Be grateful. Beg for the mercy. You know, this is why I'm here. I want to hear for your pleasure. You have a big responsibility, not only me. All of us have a big responsibility. Usually we think, the hearers don't have vision. We cannot be passionate. Passive. Don't be passive hearers. Beg for the mercy. I want to be here. I want to hear for Krishna's pleasure. Have this always. Contemplate on this. Okay. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam. So, second canto, chapter 3. Quite a number of texts, 2 to 7. So, just respond, please. Brahma Varchasa Kamastu Yajeta Brahmana Patim Indram Indriya Kamastu Praja Kama Prajapati Vedim Mayam Tushri Kama Tejas Kamo Vibhavastam Vasu Kamo Vasun Rudran Virya Kamo Tavirvan Annadya Kamasvaditim Svarga Kamoditeshutan Isvan Devan Rajakamohan Sadhyan Samsadako Vishan Ayus Kamo Sri Ayus Kamo Sinau Devau
Ayus Kamo Sinau Devau
Pushti Kama Ilam Yaje
Pushti Kama Ilam Yaje
Pratishtha Kama Purusho
Pratishtha Kama Purusho
Odati Loka Masharo
Odati Loka Masharo
Rupadikamo Gandharvan
Rupadikamo Gandharvan
Vikamo Psara Srikamopsara Urvasim
Srikamopsara Urvasim
Adipatya Kama Sarvesham
Adipatya Kama Sarvesham
Yajeta Parameshinam
Yajeta Parameshinam
Yatnyam Yajet Yachaskamaha
Yatnyam Yajet Yachaskamaha
Dosha Kamaha Prachetasam
Dosha Kamaha Prachetasam
Vidya Kamastu Krishna Vidya Kamastu Girisham
Vidya Kamastu
Girisham
Vidya Kamastu Girisham
Dampatyata Umansati
Dampatyata Umansati.
So, we read the synonyms. Please say after, please respond. Brahma,
Varchasa,
Sephajan, Kamatu, but one who desires in that way, Yajeta,
you worship,
Brahmanaha,
of the Vedas,
Asim,
the master,
Indram,
king of heaven,
Indriya Kamatu, but one who desires strong sense organs, Praja Kamaha, one who desires many offspring,
Prajapati,
Devim,
the goddess,
Maya,
unto
the mistress of the material world,
Two,
but,
Shri Kamaha,
one who desires beauty, Translation: one who desires to be absorbed in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti effulgence should worship the master of the Vedas. Lord Brahma or Brihaspati, the learned priest. One who desires powerful sex should worship the heavenly king Indra. and one who desires good progeny should worship the great progenitors called the Prajapatis. One who desires good fortune should worship Durga Devi, the superintendent of the material world. One desiring to be very powerful should worship fire, and one who aspires only after money should worship the Vasus. One should worship the Rudra incarnations of Lord Shiva if he wants to be a great hero. One who wants a large stock of grains should worship Aditi. One who desires to attain the heavenly planets should worship the sons of Aditi. One who desires a worldly kingdom should worship Vishvadeva. And one who wants to be popular with the general mass of population should worship Sadhya Demigod. One who desires a long span of life should worship the demigods known as Ashwini Kumara. And a person desiring a strongly built body should worship the earth. One who desires stability in his post should worship the horizon and the earth combined. One who desires to be beautiful should worship the beautiful residents of the Gandharva planet. And one who desires a good wife should worship the Apsaras and the Urvashi society girls of the heavenly kingdom. One who desires dominion over others should worship Lord Brahma, the head of the universe. One who desires tangible fame should worship the personality of Godhead. And one who desires a good bank balance should worship the demigod Varuna. If one desires to be a greatly learned man, he should worship Lord Shiva. And if one desires a good material relation, he should worship the chaste goddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. Purport. There are different modes of worship for different persons desiring success in particular subjects. The conditioned soul living within the purview of the material world cannot be an expert in every type of materially enjoyable asset. But one can have considerable influence over a particular matter by worshipping a particular demigod as mentioned above. Ravana was made a very powerful man by worshipping Lord Shiva, and he used to offer severed heads to please Lord Shiva. He became so powerful by the grace of Lord Shiva that all the demigods were afraid of him until he at last challenged the personality of Godhead Sri Ramachandra and thus ruined himself. In other words, all such persons who aspire after gaining some or all the material objects of enjoyment or the gross materialistic persons are on the whole less intelligent. Did I get that right? In other words, all such persons who aspire after gaining some or all of the material objects for enjoyment or the gross materialistic persons are on the whole less intelligent, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:20. It is said that there are those who are bereft of all good sense, or those whose intelligence is withdrawn by the deluding energy of Maya, aspire to achieve all sorts of material enjoyment in life by pleasing the various demigods, or by advancing in material civilization under the heading of scientific progress. The real problem of life in the material world is to solve the question of birth, death, old age and disease. No one wants to change his birthright. No one wants to meet death. No one wants to be old or invalid. And no one wants diseases. But these problems are solved neither by the grace of any demigod nor by the so-called advancement of material science. In the Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, such less intelligent persons have been described as devoid of all good sense. Sukadeva Goswami said that out of the 8.4 million species of living entities, the human form of life is rare and valuable. And out of those rare human beings, those who are conscious of the material problems are rarer still. And the still more rare persons are those who are conscious of the value of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which contains the messages of the Lord and his pure devotees. Death is inevitable for everyone, intelligent or foolish. Parikshit Maharaj, has been addressed by the Goswami as the Manishi, Manishi, or the man of highly developed mind, because at the time of death he left all material enjoyment and completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord by hearing his messages from the right person. Sukadev Goswami. But aspirations for material enjoyment by endeavoring persons are condemned. Such aspirations are something like the intoxication of the degraded human society. Intelligent persons should try to avoid these aspirations and seek instead the permanent life of returning home back to Godhead.
That ends Shukam, but before.
Okay. Just now, you know, I mentioned that the Bhakta Bhagavat, the devotees, they are expert. When they read Bhagavatam, right, when they recite Bhagavatam, they only see in relationship with Krishna, in relationship with pure devotional service. But if you look at this verse, it shows things that are not, it's not exactly devotional service, is it? Because it is actually telling you how, you know, if those of us who are interested in any of these things, what we can do about it. So Srila Prabhupada only talks about this verse proper, right? This is what I got. He says that one can not the conditioned soul living within the purview of the material world cannot be an expert in every type of materially enjoyable asset. Now, there are some things that we want, but we cannot get ourselves. For example, you know, many of us, we may remember, you know, when studying for our exams, or even now maybe, I don't know, when studying for our exams, we may, or when we are about to get married, or when we have some disease, we go to the temple, we ask the priest, what can I do, to increase this process, or to speed up this process, or to improve my chances of passing the exam, or improve my chances of getting a good wife, things like that. So the priest usually will tell us, oh, this, you can do this puja, that puja. So we have got these material desires, right, and we on our own, we are not able to fulfill them. So what we can do is we can take help from higher authorities who are able to give us such power, or not give us such power, but give us the ability to do it, right? So that's what Srila Prabhupada says, so, but one can have considerable influence over a particular matter by worshipping a particular demigod as mentioned above. So round about here, after this, you know, two sentences, Srila Prabhupada like closes the chapter on trying to satisfy ourselves, or rather satisfy our desires by going towards each any of these devatas. Instead, he starts writing something against going towards devatas, isn't it? So this is what I mean, you know, that the devotee, one who teaches Srimad Bhagavatam, the person who explains Srimad Bhagavatam always explains in terms of devotional service. So, from the rest of the purport, Prabhupada doesn't talk about, you know, how we can fulfill our desires by going to the various devatas. Instead, he tells us how to, tells us this is actually not appropriate. First he says, he talks about what Bhagavad Gita says, those who go towards these devatas, you know, they are still pious, right? They are pious because at least they understand that there is a superior authority. They know that they cannot do everything themselves. They know they have to seek help from higher authority. So they are, in that way they are pious. But they still have, such persons still have a lot of material, such persons have a lot of material desires, and we want to achieve those material desires by approaching such persons. In 720 of Bhagavad Gita, who are those who worship the devatas? These are those who are left, whose intelligence are stolen by kamai stai stai. That means whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires. Why? Because they worship the devatas so that they can fulfill their material desires almost instantaneously. That we can get by going to the devatas. And that is why we do that. And we have this urge, we have this desire, to become very rich or to become very fortunate. So we worship Durga Devi. Durga Devi, it is stated here. We worship Durga Devi in one lot of fortune. Fortune doesn't mean just Lakshmi, but just good fortune in every aspect of our lives. So that's why we worship Durga Devi. And the best part is the Vedic scriptures authorize such things. So the Vedic scriptures authorize everyone to worship Durga Devi if we want fortune. Right? So, but this is the path of wanting to enjoy. There are two paths in this, for a living entity who has come to this world, he's got Nivritti Marg and Prakriti Marg. The path of enjoyment and the path of penance and austerity. So those who want to take, who take to the path of enjoyment, they follow the Vedic scriptures, but with the mood of wanting to enjoy. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also stated that as they worship such devatas, Krishna, who is the super soul within the heart, he makes their faith in that particular devata stronger and stronger. And in the end, when they do get whatever benedictions they were asking for or requesting for, praying for, they get also by the from actually Krishna is sanctioning. So in 722 this is described. But there is one problem. The real problem of life in the material world is to solve the question of birth, death, old age and disease. By worshipping devatas, we will not be able to solve these problems. The problems that are plaguing all of us. Everyone, whether you are rich, whether you are Chinese, whether you are Japanese, whether you are German, whether you are Indian, everyone there has this problem. So it's a universal problem, and there is a universal remedy or solution. That's what Srila Prabhupada is trying to give here. So what Srimad Bhagavatam, what the Vedic scriptures give, the remedies that are given is not skin specific. It's not religion specific. It is actually applicable to everyone. So we don't think it is only for the Hare Krishna followers. No. It is actually meant for everyone. It is meant for everyone. It's not only meant for the Hare Krishna followers. So, and what is that? Actually, many things we do not know. So Srila Prabhupada is trying to give a glimpse into some of these things. Being compassionate. He is very compassionate. He has come from the spiritual world because his heart is bleeding. His heart is bleeding, seeing so many of us turning away from Krishna. Actually, all of us are part and parcel of Krishna. All of us are children of God, whether we are Chinese, Indian, whatever. We are all servants or part and parcels of God, meant to give Krishna pleasure. But for some reason or other, we have come here to want to enjoy on our own. So, but when such when those who are in so much, who are in love with Krishna, because they see their Ishtadeva is Krishna. So, and they only have one vision. They see Krishna and they see everything else in relationship with Krishna. Right? And they see all of us. You know, oh, they see, oh, look at my brothers. No, they have gone astray. They are, and as a result, they are suffering here in this material world. But we do not realize. They realize, they see us suffering and they can't wait to get us back to Krishna. So they come on their own accord. They come on their own accord to speak on behalf of Krishna. To tell us, come back. No, why? No, you don't have to suffer here. You are suffering here. But the most of us, we have become so acclimatized to this suffering that we think, how are you? Fine. We always know, it's very common, how are you? Next, the answer, the person who is asking also expects to hear fine. If you tell me problems, actually I don't want to hear about them. It's just a way to start conversations, I guess. You know? So Srila Prabhupada says, you know, these are some of the things. Actually, many of us know that we are the spirit soul. Huh? So, and there are altogether 8.4 million species of life, 84 lakh. You know, in the Indian languages, 100,000 is 1 lakh. So 8.4 million or 84 lakh species of life exist. Right? And we can go through this. And not we can, but we have been going through these different 8.4 million species countless number of times. And and it's not necessary that, you know, you may go through some of them many times. So we do not know when was the last time we were human beings. So this point is important. So 8.4 million species of life, there is a breakdown of this 8.4 million species. It's given in Padma Purana. Jalaja Nava Lakshani. Jalaja means aquatic, that means fishes, those that are in the water. There are Nava Lakshani, that means of the 84 lakhs, 9 lakhs are aquatic. Then there is Stavara Laksha Vinsati. So, Laksha Vinsati means 20 lakhs. They are Stavara. Stavara means immovable. Immovable living entities. What are they? You have your trees and you have your mountains. Mountains at one time they had wings, but they were clipped due to some offense. So mountains are also living entities. So mountains, mountains and trees, all these are stavara, and there are altogether 20 lakhs. That means 2 million different species of trees and mountains. 2 million. Okay? And then, Kramaya Rudra Sankayaka. Kramaya means Krimi, insect. Right? And Rudra means reptiles. Right? How many are there? How many different types? How many different species? 11 lakhs. Right? Pakshinam. Pakshi means bird. How many different species of birds? Dasa Lakshinam. 10 lakhs or 1 million. 1 million species. Trimsa Lakshani Pashavaha. Beasts, quadrupeds, those on four legs. How many are there? 30 lakhs. Trimsa Lakshani. And Chatur Lakshani Manushya. 400,000 species of human beings. 400,000 species of human beings. You know, there was a conversation that I heard of Srila Prabhupada on video. I think in some morning walk. And then one of the disciples came to Srila Prabhupada and said, you know, they say in science, you know, it is reported there are altogether, say, 20 or 2 million living entities, 2 million species of, or the 2 million species of living entities in this world. And Srila Prabhupada casually, no, 8.4. So this is the conviction that he has. We may say no, Padma Purana says 8.4 million. Right? We, you know, we base on Shastra, but he's like, you know, say, hey, is that your mother? No, that one. No, you're so sure. So you get what I mean, you know what I'm trying to say. He's so sure. 8.4. No, that's what he said. he's so sure. No, it's not, he doesn't have to quote, he's just so sure that there are 8.4 million species. Right, so this 8.4 million species can be divided into five different levels of consciousness. Five different levels of consciousness. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. The first level of consciousness is Avruta Chetana. Avruta Chetana means covered consciousness. They are covered. Like your trees. They are covered. They do not actually, you know, they cannot feel. They are covered. Next is Sankuchita Chetana. Or shrunken consciousness. Shrunken means not. The consciousness is not developed, right? These are the animals. The animals, the reptiles, all these. These are all animals, reptiles, and everything else that moves, right? Their consciousness is known as Sankuchita. That means shrunken. The third type, third level is Sankuchita Mukulita Chetana. Mukulita means budding consciousness. That's where all human beings fall. Or rather, that's the minimum level for a human being. That is budding consciousness. That means we have the ability to understand higher subject matters, rather instead of just the four base things, which are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Right? And higher than that, those who are practicing Krishna consciousness seriously, who are trying, who are practicing Krishna consciousness seriously, going towards, progressing towards Krishna, their consciousness is known as Vichasita Chetana. Blossoming consciousness. Blossoming. So from budding, very small, it's blossoming. And one who has attained prema, that's the fifth level, which is Purna Vichasita Chetana, fully blossomed consciousness. So these are the five levels of consciousness. So these 400,000 species of human beings, they are actually different. How? In terms of their consciousness. Everyone at different levels of consciousness and different modes of nature are acting upon them. So there are altogether 400,000 different species of human beings. So, but the point Srila Prabhupada is trying to make here is actually to get this human form of life is very, very rare. You know, in the 11th canto, Labva sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavante manushyam artadam anityam apiha dhiraha Turnam yateta na patet anumrityu yavan nishraya saya vishaya kalu sarvata syat. You know, to get this human form of life, we have gone through many, many births. Labdha, sudurlabham. Sudurlabham means very difficult to obtain. We have obtained something which is very, very difficult to obtain. I said there are 8.4 million species of life and we do not know how many times we have been in one species. It's not that after 8.4 million births, now we'll be back here. There's no guarantee. Right? Right. So, getting this human form of life is very, very rare. Very difficult actually, very rare. So, but the problem with this human form of life is, it is anityam. Although we've got our human form of life, it is actually very temporary. But although temporary, it affords us the greatest boon, which is to become fully Krishna conscious, to progress from becoming shrunken or budding conscious to fully blossoming Krishna conscious. To realize Krishna. We have that chance to become Krishna conscious when we get a human form of life. Realizing who we really are, that we have a relationship with Krishna, and how to get Krishna. Only available in the human form of life. So this fortune is there when we get a human form of life, but it is anityam. It is not, it will not be there forever. It will go away very soon. We do not know when we will leave this body. So, Therefore, those intelligent persons, what do? The sober human being should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life, as long as his body, which is always subject to death, has not fallen down and died. After all, sense gratification is available even in the most abominable species of life, whereas Krishna consciousness is only possible for a human being. So, when we do get a human form of life, we have to realize, we have to understand that this is we are in a very fortunate state of in a fortunate situation whereby we can use this to realize Krishna. But we must also understand that it is very short. We only have this human form of life for a very short time. So what we should do? We should use this life to become Krishna conscious. So then the question is how? We all know we have to be Krishna conscious. The question is how? Many of us have different levels of faith. Some of us have got very high faith levels because of previous sukriti, because of previous actions for doing things for Krishna's pleasure in the past. We have accumulated a lot of sukriti. As a result, you may have more faith. So different persons when they come into this Krishna consciousness movement, you see different persons making advancement at different speeds. Right, it's the question of faith, right? So we have to find, first of all, why we are not interested in actually following what scriptures have to offer. Many of us, we have some appreciation, we like what Prabhupada is saying, but we find it so difficult to put it into practice, especially when we are doing it alone at home. As a group, we become enthused. But when we are practicing alone, it becomes so difficult, isn't it? Because we do not have faith in what Krishna is trying to say. So this is when what needs to be done, right? To get faith is to associate with those who have faith. Right? There is a story of two ladies, one mother-in-law and one daughter-in-law. Perfect combination. Right? This mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, they are going to hear Krishna Katha, to one Bhagavad Saptaha. So, and they have to cross this tidal river, they cross the river and then go to the Saptaha. When they crossed, initially when they were going, water was only knee-deep, so easy to cross. So they went, they heard. So during the discourse, the speaker said, "Anande bolo hari hari." That means, and there is a second line which I cannot remember. He said, "Just chant the names of Lord Hari, which will enable you to cross over this ocean of material nakedness." He said that. So there are two ladies. Both heard this. So on their way back, the tidal river had risen to almost above the nose. So it was difficult to cross the river again. So as they were crossing, the daughter-in-law, who is only about 17 years old, she remembered, hey, the sadhu said, what did the sadhu say? Sadhu said, he said that just by chanting Hare Krishna, you'll be able to cross this ocean of material suffering. So what is this? Just a river. So she just chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So like that, chanting Hari's name, she was able to cross the river. So when she reached the other side, when she looked back, her dear mother-in-law was still somewhere in the middle, and she was drowning, and she was shouting to the daughter-in-law, "Hey daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law, can't you see I'm drowning here? I'm drowning here, can you help me?" So daughter-in-law quickly said, "Did you hear? The sadhu said, Just chant Hare Krishna and you'll be able to cross the ocean of material suffering. What is this? Just a small tidal river. So upon hearing this, the mother-in-law said, "Are you teaching me? I'm your mother-in-law. I'm your teacher. Don't teach me." So this is what happened. So why two persons heard, but one person was able to put faith in what the sadhu had said. The other person did not. Why? One had faith and one did not. So what is the source of that faith? Two things. One is Sukriti. One is the Krishna Sukriti. That means whatever service we have done for Krishna in the past will help us, will enable us to have more faith in Shastra. The other one is our level of simplicity. The simpler we are, the easier we are able to accept things. The more duplicitous we are, we say, "Oh, that can't be." You know, we will have so many questions, so many question marks. We are educated, remember? Always question. Right? So, there are so many questions. No, it can't be. You know, human reason fails to understand many things written in Shastra. But we try to use our human brains to try and understand things. And our experience with people who are not simple make us only more duplicitous and less willing to accept things. So as a result, we will not accept. For example, if someone offers some sweets to us, we'll be thinking, does he have another motive? But when the Chinese Prabhu, the mothers have so much difficulty, I see. The mothers have so much difficulty trying to get their children not to accept sweet from the Chinese Prabhu. What is his name? Ahuat. So he loves children. He always brings lots of sweets. And he gives, when he gives sweets, the children just go and just accept the sweet. They are so simple. Someone wants to give, I just accept. But as we grow older and older, when they hear their mothers or the elders say, "Hey, you shouldn't do that," they may have some crooked, they may have some wrong reason for doing it. So that's when we start becoming less and less simple. We start analyzing, could it be this, could it be that, could it be this, what's his motive? So why is he so nice to me suddenly, So many things are going through our minds. Right? So we become less and less simple. So the less simple we are, the more difficult it is to accept what sadhu says. So what is the solution? How to develop faith again? Now the question is, how to be simple? Come to hear is one thing, but if you are not simple, it will not enter anyway. So what's the point? So we have to become simple. So how to become simple? We become simple by associating with those who are simple. Everything comes down to association. Right? When you go to school, our parents tell you, "Hey, always keep in touch with those people who are studious group. Be a part of that study group. They look very studious." Right? So similarly, if we take association with persons who are very simple and sadhus who have no other business, their only business is wanting to serve Krishna, to give pleasure to Krishna. They are very, very simple people. Very, very simple beings. When you are with them, you see how simple a life they live. They live, and their simple thought process. So that we become inspired to become simple. As we become inspired to become simple, when we hear with that simple heart, more and more things get absorbed in our thick head. Right? More and more interested, and as a result, more and more faith in Shastra will develop. So this is the thing that we want to aspire, we have to hanker for such association. We may not be getting, but there is no reason why we cannot hanker. If we are really hankering, then Krishna will make arrangement. Would he not? We confess, "Oh, I do not have faith. I have so much difficulty practicing this in my own life. But I do know if I am able to associate with someone who is simple, right, I will be able to develop that faith. And whatever he says, I will be willing to put into practice. Now, we have so much difficulty putting into practice so many of these things. Even chanting. You know, there are three reasons why we are not attentive when we are chanting. One is laziness. Right? One is laziness. Huh? Plain laziness. That's why we are, our minds go all over the place. Second reason is we are distracted. Distracted by so many other things. This, not I gave, but this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, not me. So I'm not making it up. So second one is we get distracted. So distraction caused us to be inattentive when we are chanting. This is mentioned in Harinam Chintamani. And the third one is laziness. Oh, I just forget. Anyone? Huh? No. Laziness. I just lost it. I'm sorry. Indifference, yes. Indifference. That means tak layan, don't care. Can't be bothered. Indifference. So these are the three reasons why we chant with inattention. Indifference to the holy name. That means, you know, if you are indifferent to the Prabhu, can you do this? Oh, yeah, he wants me to do that. You understand? So we are indifferent. We are doing it indifferently. No, not conscious of what we are doing. The other one is lazy. Plain lazy. Like that. Prabhu, I'm fully guilty of all three. So I'm not finding fault with anyone. But when I saw it, you know, I just appreciated that point. Indifference and then distraction. So when something else, you know, when we are chanting, you know, when there is especially, you know, when we are on the buses, we see mobile TV on. So when soccer news, stock news, you know, financial stock. So our eyes, go there. So this is distraction. So these are the three things. So why? But when we are hearing, when the more we spend time hearing from persons who are convinced, see, that this life is not meant for such things, we will become more and more eager, or we become more and more serious, that we also want to practice like that. So this association becomes very important. You know, even when we read, when we are reading scriptures, right? You know, many a times, you know, for example, many of you are able to telephone your spiritual masters and able to speak, and we usually discuss something, you know, that we have learned, or some doubt. So when he explains then and or sometimes speaks about some problem of yours, then he starts hammering you or give it, then you become that's what it means. Or then we become more serious. When someone convinced says something, we will be more willing to accept. You follow what I'm saying? So that association becomes very important. So if we hanker to always associate with those who are convinced, at least more convinced than we are, right? Then what will happen? Because they are leading such a life, they are speaking like that. If we associate with them, then we will also develop that faith. That is why, you know, why we come for Sangha, why we come for this association. This is the main reason we have to use this opportunity to try and imbibe this mood. We come to associate so that we can become stronger. We become stronger in practicing devotional service. In taking this route or road back to Krishna. Now the faith is very much lacking. Many of us that lacking for me. Many of us have different levels of faith. So, and what I'm trying to say is, by aspiring to hear, hankering to hear, know when sadhus come, make an effort to want to go and hear. If we do that, then see if some reciprocation comes. Sometimes the speaker may not be well qualified, but because there is some sincere hearer in the crowd, Krishna may prompt him to speak something that will enliven others, or at least enliven that particular person who has come for the right reason. You understand what I'm saying? That means a person who may be unqualified may be sitting on the other side, right? And because someone in the crowd has some sincere desire to want to hear, to change his life, Paramatma may prompt him to speak something that will inspire that particular person so that he can go home with something. You understand what I'm saying? So it pays to come with a proper mood to want to change our lives. To change our lives so that we can become more and more Krishna conscious. So the goal is this is the meaning. You come with bhakti in mind. With bhakti we can get. You know, Vasudeva, what's the verse? Vasudeva Bhagavati. Anyone? Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyasu Vairagyam Yanam Chayat Ahaitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires conscious knowledge and detachment from the world. So knowledge actually comes, that knowledge comes from within, from revelation. That's the best type of knowledge. Please don't think that I'm saying do not read these books. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is we have to approach these books, approach Srimad Bhagavatam, approach classes in the right frame of mind. This is what I'm saying. Our mood is very important with which we come. We may be a murkha, doesn't matter. But if we approach in the right mood, just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, there was this Brahmana, I think Prabhu mentioned last 2 weeks ago also. When he went to South India, there was this old Brahmana who was reading the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and illiterate, yes, he is illiterate, that means he cannot even read, right, he cannot read. So, and everyone would laugh at him because he had this book upside down. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and saw, he seems to have his book upside down. So, what are you doing? He says, and he told that, my spiritual master has told me to read this. I'm illiterate. My spiritual master has told me, so I'm doing. So he's doing because of his love for his spiritual master. His spiritual master is told to do. For Gurudev's pleasure, I'm doing. Nothing going in. But to please Gurudev, I want to do. So that is bhakti. That's service. So that mood we want. If we cultivate that right mood, everything will come. That's what I'm trying to say. So Prabhu, it's best. I've been requested. I've been taught. It's better if I speak some realization, right? So that it will have some benefit. Or in the material world, we say add value. It's not a good word. What I'm saying is, it may give some inspiration to others. What has some little realization? So I speak that. I may not be able to speak so much on what this verse is all about, but I have some conviction that if we approach in the right way, that means begging for mercy, if we are begging for mercy, coming with the right attitude, we can get some reciprocation, we can get something. Our chocolate books, Prabhu Mataji. Hare Krishna, Srimad. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So, I'll just ask if there are any questions.
Yes, Guru.
So you could like work here in the three
So Bhakti is not the Sarasvati Thakur, sir.
Yes.
So, means if the
person is in second class,
right?
What should be?
No, so now we have heard, right? So now I'm telling. So it is, for example, these things are, what we hear are meant to be contemplated upon. Srimata. No, not that verse. Srimata Shradaya Nityam. Sorry. No, I don't mean to do that. Don't take it that way. Shranmata Shradaya Nityam Granata Chaspa Cheshtitam Kalena Natibirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. So, it says persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously. That means we have to concentrate on what we hear. Not just come here, that's it, end of class, finish, go. No. The third type of person who is, he has come to hear and ask how to change my life. So we must come and develop this mood. You understand? So now we know, hey, so not only you, Prabhu, no, I also learned late. This are not meant for our enjoyment or to come and accumulate knowledge so that we can tell others and people's eyebrows, wow. No, that's not the purpose. Sorry. You ask yourself, would that give pleasure to Krishna? Would it? I mean, straight, every action we do, ask this question, is this going to give pleasure to Krishna? Mm-hmm. It's going to give you a name and fame, which is going to bring about to our ruin. But it's not going to give us bhakti. You follow us. So that is why you come with the right mood. We come for bhakti. If we come for bhakti, then maybe by Krishna's mercy we may get some glimpse of bhakti. We come for the wrong reason, we will not get it. You understand? Our tendency is to enjoy Prabhu. Our tendency is to enjoy. We come here to enjoy. What's wrong? But the sadhu says, no, not for enjoyment. Bhagavatam is not for your enjoyment. Bhagavatam is for Krishna's enjoyment. So now, you have to ask, you beg Krishna, please let me come with that mood. Beg for mercy, let me come with that mood. No, before coming we can go in front of Krishna, I'm going to this program. Please, please shower your mercy upon me so that I will try and be there to imbibe bhakti mood there. Not go there to learn some new things, learn some new points so that I can impress upon others. Huh? We don't want that. Does that help for you? Any other question? Okay, we will stop here. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai. Rajde Pushpa Kapal Prabhu ji ki
jai.
Gaur Premanandi.
Thank you.